Good morning and welcome to Backyard and Beyond. This morning we're visiting with Dana Kunze, and we're talking about the Ferry House. Good morning to you, Dana.
Good morning, Lalonde. It's so good to be a part of your program.
Well, thank you. And first of all, we should clarify that we are talking about Ferry House. Because I'm there are folks who have no clue about that there's a ferry house in Cass County and that it has some importance to Cass County. So, first of all, Dana, tell us where it's located. If we wanted to come see the ferry house in Cass County, how would we find it?
Well, it's at the western edge of Lewis, Iowa. And it is on the same road that most people take out to the Hitchcock House. So that corner is well marked when you come through Lewis. Take that west, and just shortly before you get to the river, you'll pass this nice little white house on the north side of the road, and that is the Nishtamot Ferry House.
And yes, it is pretty small and not very elaborate. It's just very simple. So don't just drive by and go, oh, I didn't even see that. But now we're talking about a ferry house. There's no water nearby. Why is that?
Well, actually, the ferry house is exactly where it was built back in the 1850s. It hasn't been moved. Some people think we've moved it higher ground or something like that. It's not the case. The river's moved. There was a river striping project in lots of western Iowa, and the Army Corps of Engineers bragged that they put 3 miles of the Nishtamotna River into one through that section. So the Nishtamotna channel has been moved further west of the house.
So that makes sense that people were actually using it to ferry. So give us a bit more, Dana. You know, why was it so important? And I guess I'm hoping most people know the purpose of a ferry house, but kind of give us that background of the importance of a ferry house.
Well, you know, Levon, it's hard for us to imagine now that there was a period in our history where it was simpler to have somebody run a ferry across a river than it was to maintain a bridge. But that's really how things went for a number of years. And it was exactly that the ferry house located on one of the most utilized old-time western trails in the United States. And it was built so that the operator, it was a private operator initially, could run a business of ferrying or taking passengers from one side of the river to the other, wagons, carriages, things like that. It's really hard for us to imagine that because we cross rivers and water so much now, but trails didn't. It was possible when you were on a trail, they stayed up on ridges. So when they came down into a valley like that, they maybe hadn't crossed water in 30 miles. So, you know, it was just a time when that seemed like a more economical way of getting across a muddy bottomed river like the Nishtamotna tends to be.
So, yeah, they couldn't just drive their horses and carts across there because they were just going to sink into the mud. Not possible to just, at least in most seasons, to go across there without getting stuck.
Yeah, it's true. A lot of locals knew of a couple places upriver or downriver where there was a rock bottom, but anybody passing through that was on that trail didn't have the time to go hunting for those things. And the toll was not exorbitant. As I understand it, it was 10 cents. And that certainly doesn't sound like much now. But even then, that wasn't a bad toll to have to pay. If you're considering that you have a wagon and you are headed west and you have everything you own in that wagon, do you really want to go down through water with it? Do you really want to sink into the mud with everything you own? No, it paid the 10-cent toll, and they kept going.
Okay, when did you say it was built, Dana?
Early 1850s. It actually is not the first ferry house that was at the river. The initial one was associated with the village of Indiantown and was on the west side of the river. It washed away in a flood. And then this one was built once Lewis, or really on the cusp of Lewis being the new county seat. So that's why it's on the east side of the river.
So, Dana, you built then, and it's, of course, stood through lots of time. So that means to get it to the stage that it's at now, somebody had to have given it a lot of care and updating. So you've been working on that for quite a while.
Yeah, it has been. Those of us that took this project on were also pretty familiar with the idea of historic restoration. I guess as they say, it wasn't our first rodeo. We've been involved with the Hitchcock House. And now the property is maintained by the Hitchcock House Board. And they're a perfect link. But yeah, it was used as a private residence for many years. It's hard to imagine that a little house like that would have housed a family, but it did. In fact, I noted you said it was a very small house. LaVon, this is its larger iteration. It's not even smaller. This is after the addition.
And families didn't expect a lot of room. You fit into very small spaces. We didn't expect these great expanses. So what kinds of things have you had to do? And I think you're maybe about to the final stages of getting it to where you want it at this point.
We are closing in on it. We wanted to make sure that we maintain the authenticity of the ferry house. And we were so fortunate that it had so many original elements in it yet, like the original plank doors. And this is a period right on the cusp of sawmills and being able to have milled lumber. So there are rafters in this little house that are log rafters. Mm-hmm. So we've taken a keen eye to preserving that. We didn't just go in and drywall the whole thing. We hired a plasterer, which is not an easy thing to do anymore, to come in and save the plaster that was on the wall and to save as much of the original house as possible because of its authentic, unique nature. We're so fortunate. Kind of like we were at Hitchcock House. We didn't know what we were saving at the point we started saving it. We've been told by the National Park Service that this is the only standing ferry house that they're aware of in the western United States. Mm. And they've also told us that it is the only building that they know of still surviving in the state of Iowa that was specifically built to handle trail traffic. And those are two very unique qualities, if you think about it.
Yes.
We have been very fortunate, again, in Cass County to find a gem and get a chance to save it.
So is it open? Will it be open to the public? Or do people drive by or stop and look in the windows? I mean, or are you having an open house? We have a few seconds here to talk about how can people see it other than just driving by?
Well, we are hoping to have interpretive panels up later this summer that will help describe a little bit more of the history that this little building was witness to. As far as being open, it's not in our immediate plans. That takes volunteers. And, you know, volunteers aren't out there. The good thing for us is, and anybody who visits the house, is you can tour a lot of the house by just doing, as you just said, looking in the windows. There are three rooms on the main level. and you can see in all of them very plainly. But I am certain that there will be special events at the very least that the house will be open, and certainly when the work is complete, an open house is appropriate.
Okay, Dana, we'll be looking forward to that. We want to stay in touch in terms of this important history point in Cass County. And we want to thank you very much for all the work that you and all the other volunteers have done to keep this going. So keep us up to date, Dana, and thanks a lot for visiting with us.
Thanks so much for remembering us, LaVon. It means a lot to us.
Okay, until next time, here's a thought from Matt Biondi, who was an Olympic swimmer. Persistence can change failure into extraordinary achievement.